it is Sunday, man, and it is finished. Someone in here needs to realize that. Someone in here needs to know that. It is finished. Whatever you came in with, whatever it is that you're dealing with, it is finished because he took it. It is done. It is complete. It is healed. It is redeemed. It is restored. It is delivered and it is cured. It is not up for debate. It's not in question. We're not wondering about it because it was finished. It was finished. I want you to bow your head. Holy Spirit, I invite you into this place. I remove any religion. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are welcome. For it was your power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that your power right now will be released in every family, every situation, every need, every want, every desire. And it will be your power that will be raised today. Raise them from affliction. Raise them from that disease. In Jesus' name, we believe that this is Resurrection Day. And in the same way that you raised your son, Jesus, raise us today. Have your way here, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. When I say it is finished, what is it that you're dealing with today? What is it in your life that you have been dealing with for years? You're sitting with it. It's been tormenting you. Jesus took it. Hear this. Jesus took it over 2,000 years ago so that you don't have to take it anymore. He took those 39 stripes on his back. I want y'all to hear me. He's not turned his back on you. He's turned his back for you. He's turned his back for you. He took the disease. He took the infirmity. He took the pain. What is it today that you've been taken off of the enemy? What is it today that you've been taken off of the enemy? Jesus took that thing so that you don't have to take it anymore. Sometimes we're just taking it. When it is finished, it is already healed, it's already restored, it's already done. He took it off of you and he took it on himself for you. Some of you, you walked in with it, but hear me, by the Spirit of God, you won't leave with it because it is finished. It was dealt with when he was put on the cross for it so that you don't have to deal with it. I don't know about you, but I'm done dealing with it. I got an it in my life, and I bet you do too. And you know what? My son, my God, sent his son to die for it, so I don't have to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it today. And I'm not going to deal with it tomorrow. Amen? It is over. He overcame it, so you're not overcome by it. He gave his life for it so that you don't have to deal with it. You know that song, "Oh, how he loves you and me." Do you know that song? Oh, how, sing it, he loves you. He gave his life. What more could he give? Guys, he gave his life for it. What more could he give? I think sometimes we're asking God, will you heal it? Will you do it? When in fact, he's already done it. What more could he do? We got to get that concept. He gave his life for it. What more could he give? It's already done for you. It's already complete for you. It no longer will consume you. It no longer will torment you, control you, manipulate you, and it doesn't define you. You know what defines you is the cross. It's what he did for you. Hear that. There's no condemnation. I know that God showed me some of you are sitting here by the fact of what you did in your past, and that thing has condemned you because of what you've done. Look at me. It's not about what you've done. It's about what he did. It's about what he's done in his past for you. And that dumb devil is trying to lie to you. He's trying to beat you with your past. He's trying to beat you with it. Look at what you did. When in fact, my Jesus was beaten for it. So that you're not beaten down with it. Are you hearing that? There is no condemnation today. There is no shame today. There is no guilt today because he took it. So you don't have to go through it. Some of you in here, you don't have to take anxiety. You don't have to take the fear. You don't have to take the worry. You're going to get your peace back today. I felt that in my spirit. Hear that. You're going to trade in your senses and your emotions and your worry and your confusion and your division for the Holy Spirit's senses, for the Holy Spirit's emotions. It's time, guys. There's an epidemic right now of fear and anxiousness and anxiety. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus took the anxiety on so you don't have to be anxious. You got to know that. He took on shame. He took on blame. He took on every sin that was ever done. Rape, molestation, murder, all of that he took on. Think about that. Some of you, I feel in my spirit, you're at that place, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Did you know Jesus was at that same place? There was a moment right before he died. I can't take it anymore. Mentally, I can't take it. God, may it pass from me. What is it today that you're saying, God, may it pass from me? Take it. What is that one thing today that you'd give anything for God to take it? He's already taken it. He's already taken it. Jesus was the one that took it, was overwhelmed by it in his soul, so that your soul could be free of it. It says this in Mark 14, verse 32 through 34. And this is Jesus right before he died, when he was in the garden praying for you, mentally taking on the torment, mentally taking on every tormenting thought you would go through. This is when he took on the sin, and he's praying, knowing he's going to be betrayed, knowing he's going to be rejected. And this is what he says. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul. Now this is Jesus. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. You know what? You would have thought he would have made that statement when he was on the cross. When his flesh was being shredded. When his intestines were hanging out. You would have thought he would have made that statement, take it from me, when the thorn was going into his skull, where he was swelling because of the poison in the thorns that made him swell so much he was unrecognizable. You would have thought he would have made that statement then, but that's not when he made it. He made the statement, take it from me, when he was taking on all of your anxiety, all of your torment, all of your thoughts, and all of your sin. Some of you are there today. Mentally, you've been taking it. And Jesus wants you to know, I've taken it for you. I took it then. It's already done. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is not your typical, going to be traditional Easter Sunday morning message. In fact, this is the first time I've ever preached on Easter. There's nothing practical about me. There's nothing traditional about me. I'm on an assignment. And I'm telling you right now, I know this in my spirit, that when I was praying for you this week on Tuesday, I'm going to be real with you. I had so much anxiety, overwhelming anxiousness, that I couldn't even pray or study. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord showed me, that's you. I don't know if it's one of you or many of you, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to be set free today of that thing, that spirit of fear, that same thing that hit Jesus in the garden. You're going to be free of it today because it's finished. We got to get a revelation of that, guys. We're not waiting to be healed. We were healed. We're not waiting to be set free. We've been freed. Are you not get that? Confusion, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, the prodigal. Think about this. Sleeping disorders. This is things that I was feeling in my spirit for you that you've been going through. It is finished and it is settled. And I sense for some of you, it's been really dark. You've been in a dark season, mentally, spiritually, and physically. Did you know Jesus was put in the dark after he died? You know, we always, around Easter, it's all about the cross, crucifixion, then him being risen, the resurrection. But then there's that middle section. There's that dark place that he went to. There's that dark season. There's that dark space called the tomb that sometimes we just forget about. I'm going to tell you something about the tomb. It's isolated, it's lonely, and it's abandoned. Jesus went to the tomb. He went to that dark spot for you. And I feel you're in the dark, some of you. Today you're coming out of the grave because it's Resurrection Day. The title of this message, The Tomb Experience. I feel for some of you, you're in the season of the tomb. What's your tomb today? What's your tomb? What tomb are you in? What's holding you back? What's keeping you bound? What's keeping you locked in? What's keeping you restricted where you can't even be who God's called you to be? What's your tomb? What is your tomb? The remainder of this message, we're going to discover what the tomb can develop. The tomb is the most darkest place you could ever be in. But hear this, that's where things are developed in the dark. Things are formed. Things are created in and through the dark. If you think about a baby, when a baby is formed, she or he is in the darkness of the mother's womb. Hear this. If you were to take the letter W off of the letter of the word womb and put the letter T, it would spell tomb. Things are developed in the dark. You may be in the darkest season of your life, but you're about to birth your greatest victory. Because hear this in the spirit. God is turning the tomb into a womb. You see, Jesus was developed in a womb. And then he left this earth through a tomb. So right now, if you're in that tomb experience and you're in that dark place, you're about to be discovered. You're about to be developed. Destiny is about to come to you, says the Lord. Things are most developed through darkness. If you think about a caterpillar in the dark of a cocoon. If you think about film back in the old days was developed in a dark room. If you think about a diamond beneath in the depths of the earth, in the darkness, and Jesus was developed in a tomb. The tomb experience is hard on the flesh, but it is what births who you will be. Hear this in Isaiah 9:1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Someone needs to hear that. Whatever darkness you're in, it's not going to be this way forever. If you think about a baby, think about a caterpillar, they're not in the dark forever. Jesus wasn't in that dark tomb forever. See, the enemy's trying to deceive you. Whatever dark place you're in, it's forever. That's a lie. This won't be this way forever. It goes on to say in verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a bright light. For those who live in a land of darkness, a light will shine. If you will, or you can look on the screen, in Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 5, I'm going to read the entire little passage, and then I'm going to break it down, okay? Verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just like he said." What has he said to you through the word? What has he said to you concerning your desire? What has he said to you concerning your family? Just like he said, I don't care what Satan's saying to you. What did Jesus say about it? We got to put more faith in what Jesus said instead of what the enemy says, because he's going to tell you the opposite of the truth. Satan does not tell the truth. He lies. He perverts the truth. He twists the truth. Sometimes when the enemy's lying to you, you got to look at him and say, Jesus wouldn't say that to me. This is what Jesus said. I rebuke you, Satan. We don't take it from you, Satan. Jesus said the prodigal's coming home. Jesus said by his stripes I was healed. Jesus said greater work shall you do than I. That's what Jesus said. What did he say? So let's go to verse 1 and I'm going to break it down a little bit. Okay? Because there's so much in this. So verse 1, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Jesus is dead. Mary and the other Mary, they go to look at the tomb, okay? I want to stop right there. Sometimes we're too busy looking at the tomb that we're in and we miss the miracle that's happening inside of the tomb. They were looking at the tomb. But they didn't understand that there's a miracle happening inside of that tomb. Right now, quit looking at it. Quit focusing on it. Quit being consumed by it. Whatever your tomb is, stop looking at it. You got to realize God is doing something inside of this dark tomb for you. Are you hearing that? This is why the Word of God says you got to fix your eyes on the unseen and not what you can see in the natural. You got to fix your thoughts. Quit looking at it. Quit being tormented by it. Quit being disturbed by it. And you got to realize God's in it. God's going to do something through that tomb. It's resurrection day. Come on. In verse 2, there was a violent earthquake. 4, an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that part. I can almost see the angel doing that. God sent an angel to roll back that stone. Jesus didn't even roll it back. What stone is standing in your way? It's not on you to roll it away. You can't do it. It's too heavy. It's beyond you. Stop trying to move that stone. Take your hands off of it. Are you hearing that? Quit trying to fix it. Quit taking matters in your own hands. It's wearing you down. It's wearing you out. You're so worried and consumed. Just be still and know that he's God, and he will send an angel to roll back that stone. What stone is blocking your blessing? Some of you are trying to bless yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't out-bless God. Now, you can bless yourself, or you can get let God bless you. God is assigning his ministering warring angel to roll back that stone. All you got to do is be still and know that he is God. You can't fix it, and you can't heal it, and you can't free it. I know from experience, I've been trying. It's wearing me out. And I don't think I'm the only one in here. Not only did the angel roll it back, but then he sat on it. And I don't know why he sat on it. I don't know. Maybe it was because so the stone wouldn't roll back. God has assigned an angel to you that is removing it today. I want you to think, what is it that you need to be, that it needs to be removed? God sending an angel. I, even on the way here, I was praying, ministering, warring angels to station around this campus, station around your home and your family. He's doing it for you. The angel is rolling back that stone. He's setting on it so it doesn't ever come back. Hear me. Whatever it is, I'm tired of it coming back. Some of you in here, you got that thing and it keeps coming back. You think it's over and it comes back. You think it's done and it comes back. It almost be like having cancer and you get healed of it and then you go back to the doctor a year later and it's back. But I'm going to tell you today, it's resurrection day, and God is saying to you, I'm rolling it away. I've sent my angel. I've put my angel on it, and it's never going to come back on you again, says God. Never again. In Jesus' name. You know what I love about this whole story? Once Jesus came out of that tomb, he never went back to it. He never went back. He was resurrected. Once that stone is rolled away, it ain't going to come back. Your angel is sitting on it so you can come out of it. Now, I'm going to be bold and tell you something. Jesus had to come out. Sometimes God sends the power and he rolls that stone, but you're going to have to come out. He's not going to pull you out. He's not going to force you out. You can't sit in that stone. You can't sit in that tomb. You can't stay in that grave. It's up to you. You got to come out today. You can't stay the victim. And sometimes that's our issue. And that's not even in my notes. But I just heard that loud and clear. Cammie, let them know I've already rolled it away. They just got to come out of it. But you're scared. Because you've gotten comfortable in the tomb. You've gotten used to the darkness. You've gotten used to the infirmity. You've gotten used to the abuse. You've gotten used to the fear. You've put more faith in that fear than you have God. You've just gotten accustomed to it. I've just accepted it. This is just the way it's going to be. It doesn't have to be that way. Get out of the tomb. Come out. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, the grave is empty. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is standing at your tomb. It says that he comes alongside of you. You don't have to come out alone. He's going to lead you. He's going to go before you. He's standing at the tomb. It says this in verse 3. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Get this. He's standing at the tomb, and the guards that were guarding his body are now like dead men, afraid. Afraid. Whatever has been assigned to you to bind you and keep you bound, the power of God that is on the inside of you is afraid. Hear that. Afraid. Because Jesus has shown up on the scene. He's right there by you. Come on. Come on, Cammie. Come on. Come on, prodigal. Come on. Will you come today? Anxiety, you're dead. Just like those guards that were guarding Jesus' body, they stood there, they shook in fear because of the power of Jesus, and they were like dead men. And there comes a point when Jesus shows up on the scene, fear, you're dead. Sickness, you're dead. Anxiety, you're dead. Some of your families, some of your marriages that are dead, Jesus is showing up on the scene like white lightning, as white as snow, to purify your marriage, to purify you personally. Whatever addiction you're in, whatever habit and patterns you've been doing, there is such a sanctification of the anointing and the purification of the Holy Spirit that's going to make you white as snow. When Jesus looks at you, he doesn't look at your sin. He looks at himself on the inside of you. He lives in you. Out of all the places he could live, he lives in me. To think that God, okay, let's see, where do I want my son to live? I want him to live in them. That's huge. See, we know this, but do we know this? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You're no longer bound. You're loosed of it. You're loosed of it. It's resurrection day. The power is in you. Verse 5. The angel said to the woman, to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Guys, it's finished. You know, the tomb is empty. The world's way this weekend is all about the Easter egg. And you know what? When you go and hunt an Easter egg that's plastic, the goal is on the inside. Something's going to be in there. But when it comes to Jesus, there's nothing there. It's empty. And God wants you to know today, it's empty. This thing is gone in your life because I sent my son for it. I sent my son. I want you to hear this prophetic word, and then I'm going to show a video. This is something that the Lord gave for you, for this church. And again, I want you to hear it through the Spirit, okay? Because we're talking about the tomb, okay? Hear this. "There is a suddenly upon you, like all the sudden. Out of nowhere, our spiritual womb is going to burst open, and the power on the inside of you is going to come bursting out. The time has come where the kingdom of God in every believer to come bursting forth, and the contents of it will spill over into this city, into your family, and into this church," says the Lord. "You're about to experience the greatest time in history where signs and wonders will no longer be taboo. Jesus said, "Oh, greater works will you do because I go to my Father." The birthing time is here, and the baby is developing on the inside of you. For God has turned your tomb into a womb, and you're about to deliver, says the Lord, because you've been delivered. Greatness is inside of you. He lives in you. He's not on the outside of you. You're not trying to reach Jesus unless you're not saved. Sometimes we're trying to get healed. We're trying to find it. It's in you. He lives in you. Greater works shall you do than Jesus did when he walked this earth. That's his words. Because he lives in you. Because he's already gone to the Father. Are you hearing this? Like, we know that Jesus lives in our heart if he lives there today. But do we really know that? Like, we hear it, but have you heard? In the Spirit, he lives in me. He lives in you. I lack nothing. Greater is he who lives in me than he that is in this world. I don't care what's happening in this world. I don't care about the lack of food that might come. I don't care about the wars. Greater is he who lives in me. He lives in you. I want you to see this video because of who lives in you and what he can do for you. And he wants to. But you got to receive him. And it's more than receiving salvation. That's awesome. But guys, I'm ready to receive the power. I'm ready to receive the authority. I'm ready to see miracles and signs and wonders. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you arrived yet? Because I haven't. You're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High. You've got a covenant. You've been adopted in. You have God's inheritance in you. You're in the will of God. If I was a multimillionaire and died and I gave you my will, it's up to you to go to the bank and get that thing out. It's up to you, the person who lives in you, to allow him to do what only he can do for you. So as you watch this video, you're going to hear a song, and it's going to sound a little bit like Christmas. But see, this whole thing started with Mary, when God sent Jesus in Mary. Mary, did you know? Who lives in you? And people, did you know? Who lives in you? Who has risen from the dead? And he wants to resurrect whatever is dead. And I want you to sit here and I want you to think, I know what I'm thinking of. I've got a dead situation. And today, out of all the days of the year, this is my greatest day. Resurrection Day. I am not going to leave here with this dead thing. I am believing that the power that is in me can raise my situation because of Jesus. So we'll turn off the lights.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy is one way? He is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Did you know what was inside of you? Do you know what's inside of you? Do you know what's inside of you? Do you know what's inside of you? It may hurt, it may be painful, but greatness is inside of you. It is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is inside of you. Be in a season right now where the Lord has something in you that's going to shake the earth, and you may be hurting, you may be crying, pillows wet with tears, but what the Lord has placed inside of you, what the Lord has placed inside of you will change generations after generations, generations after generations. They may not understand right now. They may think you're in a hole right now. They may think you're in a dark season. Woo. But greatness is inside of you. Don't abort it, don't kill it. It's inside of you. Forfeit it, it's inside of you. Don't give it up, it's inside of you. This process is necessary, Mary. This process is necessary, Mary. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. That story, it's inside of you. That book, it's inside of you. That song, it's inside of you. That child, it's inside of you.
You can keep the lights off. I just want everyone to bow your head. The tomb was dark. It may be dark in your life. And for some of you, it may be dark because he's not in your life. Maybe you were drug here. Maybe your wife wanted you to come. Maybe your girlfriend wanted you to come. Maybe you came out of obligation because, you know, it's Easter and it's what we do. But as you are sitting here, you're getting some jitters. So you think, but it's really the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. Does Jesus live inside of you? Could it be that it's dark because he's not there? And you need to invite him in. That tug that you feel, that knock that you hear right now, the lump in your throat is the Holy Spirit drawing you. And you may say, well, Cammie, I remember I walked an aisle when I was a little boy. I got saved at that camp. Did you do that because everybody else did? Or did you do it because the Holy Spirit drew you? Are you really born again? I can have the guitar player come up and the pianist. Every eye closed. Don't sit here and think, you know what? I'll do it next year. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to give some things up. Guess what? Jesus already gave it up for you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That thing that you don't want to give up is destroying you and is taking you to hell. Don't you leave this place because tomorrow may not come. Don't be deceived and lied to by the enemy. There's a call on your life. Could it be that you've walked away from Jesus? And today you're saying, I want to make him the Lord of my life. Because you know what? He's just there to give me a ticket to heaven, but I ain't living for him. And you need to maybe make a commitment. If that is you, and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, no one's looking around, I want you to raise your hand. I will not call you up. I will not embarrass you. That's between you and Jesus. Raise your hand right now if you've never asked Jesus in your heart. Anyone? And you want to be born again. On the count of three, I want you to raise it. One, two, three. Anyone? Rededication. Anybody in here? You hadn't been in church for a while. You haven't been in his presence, but you've been in darkness. And you know what kind of darkness I'm talking about. And you know what? I'm under conviction. There's no condemnation here. But I'm under conviction today, and I want to make him the Lord of my life. Every eye closed. I want you to raise your hand if that's you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I ask you into my heart, into my life. I give you control. I let it go so you can have my heart. Dwell in me. Live in me. Be whatever you want to be on the inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at me. That video was very anointed. I had my assistant create that. You need to be reminded who lives in you and what he did for you and the power that is on the inside of you. Miracles aren't a thing of the past. They're for today, and they can even be greater. If this message, if you are in a dark tomb and you need a miracle and you want to come out and you feel stuck, and this message was for you, whether it's mental illness that you're stuck in, mental disorders, anxiety, fear, like I'm talking about the kind of tomb that you're bound. And maybe the angels already rolled the stone, but you can't get out. Maybe it's a dead marriage. See, here's the thing. There's no judgment here. I know what my tomb is. I need a miracle, and I got it. But in faith, just like me, I confess it to you. This is why God says, confess your sin one to another. It's not to punish us, to bring light on it. So that we can relate to each other. I've been walking in fear over a situation, and I'm done with the fear. I'm done looking at the tomb. I'm ready to see what God is doing inside of the tomb. Instead of what the enemy wants me to see in the natural. So if that is you, and you know, I'm ready to come out of this place. I just want you to stand to your feet, whoever you are. And if you need a miracle, you can sit in pride or you can stand to your feet, because that's a sign of faith. I'm coming out of this thing. I need a miracle. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Mental anguish, anxiety, fear, sickness, infirmity. What is it? Today is the day. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, will you do me a favor? Will you come out of the tomb where you're at? Like, before you move, I want you to think about what it is that you're about to escape, that God is rescuing you from. And what I want you to do, I want you to step from where you are. This is just a symbol. And I want you to step in the aisle. Can you do that? And I want you to come to the front just real quick. And I want to pray over you. Come on. Come on. You can just stand right here and you can face me. You can face me. Thank you, Father God. Y'all can just get in a line if you will. Just back up a little bit so I can stand in front of you. Prayer team, those of you that come and pray, I want you to stand behind these people. You know who you are. And I'm going to pray over you. Today's your day. This is not a typical Easter Sunday. Not the way we do things in our church, right? What the greatest day of all that God chose for you to come out of this tomb. Just like Jesus did. Thank you, Father. You know what it is. God knows what it is. We're not going to deal with it no more. Amen? Amen. Anointing oil. Okay? So it talks about in the word that when we apply the anointing oil, that it will break the yoke of bondage off of us. Okay? And so right now, when I take this oil, now the Holy Spirit's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. So the oil is part of the Holy Spirit and his attribute. It's part of who he is. So when I apply the anointing oil on you, whatever that yoke is will no longer choke you, will no longer bind you, will no longer condemn you, will no longer keep you in this tomb. For the word of God says that you can take on Jesus' burden, for his burden is easy and his yoke is light. So in the name of Jesus, when this anointing oil, not me, but when it comes to you through the Holy Spirit, you will be set free. Amen.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you. Everybody can stand to your feet. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, your only Son, to die for us so that we could have life and life more abundantly. And I thank you that, Father God, that we walk in that life and that security and that comfort, knowing that you're our healer, you're our deliverer, and you've set the captives free. And Father God, when we leave this building, we won't be the same. We don't go back to the tomb. We've come out today, and the stone has been rolled away, and Jesus is right beside us today. He's right beside the Father God, making intercession for us. He never sleeps or slumbers. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and dwells in you. And we draw from that well. We draw from that power and that tangible anointing, Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead. And we thank you for bringing us life, victory, restoration, deliverance, healing. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seat. I know that Pastor Mark is gone, and I want to honor him. I love a pastor that can make it about his family and not put the ministry above family. That's a real pastor. And I love that he can release you to the Lord on one of the greatest days, knowing that it'd be a packed house and that he would trust me and the God in me with his congregation. I want y'all to know I love you. Thank you for receiving me. I know I'm a female. But you know, God did use a female to produce Jesus. And we can preach it too. I think if a female can deliver him, we can preach about him. Amen. And I love a church that will receive who I am. Because there's a little stigma there. I love you guys. And it was a joy praying for you. Except on Tuesday when I was under great anxiety and I reached out to Jennifer, I thought, oh dear God. But the encounter I had in my hotel room where Pastor Mark and his lovely wife set me up, it was beautiful for you. I just want to pray over this couple right here, if I may. There is an anointing on you. There is such a place, sir, of humility. You are a humble man. You are a chosen man. You are called. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. For you are righteous in my sight. You are pure in heart. And the Lord says to you, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. All you got to do is ask for it. For you're worthy of it. Your best days are ahead of you, says the Lord. Sadness and sorrow leaves. There's a mantle on your family. I've anointed you and I've appointed you. Don't give up. Stand. Keep standing. Keep believing. I've already done it. Thank you, Father. Lord, I speak the anointing upon you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. His glory is going to come upon you. He's going to wake you up in the middle of the night even. You're going to have dreams, says the Lord. You're going to have visions, says the Lord. There's a capacity that he is going to share with you of his love, and you're going to encounter his tangible anointing. You are marked. You are a son of mine. You have a kingly anointing, a priestly anointing. It's deep within you. For my eyes go to and through, and I look and I have seen. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has felt that which I have for those who love me. And you love me. Thank you, Father God. Praise you. You are a pillar in this church, both of you. You have stood here. You have been dedicated. You've been committed. You are faithful. You are an intercessor. You have prayed. You have sought. And you will see it come to pass, says the Lord. I am strengthening your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And there's a fire in your belly, the Holy Spirit, like a currency inside of your bones. And there's a rhythm of the Holy Spirit and a rhyme coming, says the Lord. And you will have structure and order where there's been any form of disorder. I'm making it in order. And it's lining up now, says the Lord, so that it will function as it's supposed to. I come against the spirit of dysfunction right now, and I command your body to function under the anointing of God. In Jesus' name, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. For there's healing in your hands. You know, sometimes wherever we're attacked at is where we're anointed at. Do you know that? That's why the enemy attacks you in that area, because you're anointed in that area. Sister, you got some pipes on you and the anointing. If you can sing that song, you can sing any song. You're angelic. You're pure in heart. You are preserved. Don't settle for less. Wait on God's best. The guitar player, I don't know your name, big beautiful eyes. You are authentic. You are pure. You are real. And he calls you a diamond. You've been like a diamond in the rough. You've gone through some rough, but you've stood. You know what a diamond is? It's in the dark. It's hiding. And you think, when am I? Everybody else is getting promoted. Everybody else is getting seen. Oh, but you, your roots go deep, says the Lord. You're my diamond. And you will shine. Every diamond usually goes into a wedding set. There's a setting for you, says the Lord, and you don't belong in just any setting. Wait for it. You are going to strum like never before. There's an anointing on you, says the Lord. I love you guys. I appreciate you. It's 12:11. I didn't keep you too long. Hope the roast didn't burn. I release you. And I thank you. You are dismissed. Love you guys.
I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. I know there's gonna be some brighter days.